Blog Talk Radio.
Interesting. Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us here tonight. And every time we come on here, glad to have you with us. It's a beautiful day here in North Dakota. With all of our technologies working every single time we turn them on. We're glad to have you here for another whole year. That is amazing. You know, I remember back as a kid wondering if we was ever going to see 77 Reasons God Was Coming in 77. And I remember thinking, my goodness, I just want to be 20 years old. I don't want God to come back yet. And, I didn't realize that my request was going to make it this long. I would have worked a little differently there. But I remember I got home from school that night. It's supposed to be in October sometime. And got home from school and my mom was not at home. Of course, my mom was the example of righteousness. I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about there. She was the example of righteousness and she was not home when I got off the bus. And I'm like, oh,
he thought he missed the rapture.
That's it right there. I missed the rapture. They were right. I knew that guy was right. I don't think my dad knew he was right, but I knew he was. You know how that goes. My dad wasn't nervous about it, but I was nervous about it for some reason. And so I called my friend Steve, who got off the bus just about 10 minutes after me. And I'm like, Steve, is your mom home? He goes, no, why? I'm like, well, neither is mine. Did the rapture happen and we missed it? And of course, naturally, what you're going to do is you're going to call one of the other brothers in the church. So we called one of the other families in the church that has a young man our age. And that young man, we're like, is your mom home? He's like, no. Like, neither is my mom and neither is Steve's mom. And this is the day the rapture is supposed to happen. I think we all missed it. And of course, none of us was trained in the Lord enough to say, no man knows the day or the hour. And if all our moms are gone, that might just mean they're having a woman's meeting. So,
is that what happened?
So then we got the next logical thought, and that was, get a hold of Johnny Clark. Johnny Clark had a CB radio. We could talk to him on the CB radio, and Steve had a CB radio, so he called him up and like, hey, John, is your mom home? Yes. And there's a whole house full of women here on the CB radio. All you guys' moms are over here at my house. Can you tell them all to come home? We're like, thank you, Jesus. We found our moms. But anyways, that's what it's going to be like in the rapture. You don't want to miss it. And I'm not going to preach hellfire and brimstone ever because the Bible says that God's mercy does more to bring people to God than ever his judgment has. But I also want you to know that this thing is real. It is real. There is a rapture of the church coming, and you want to be sure that you make it into heaven for that glorious appearing of Jesus. Isn't that something? What happened to my phone here? All of our technologies work all of the time. So I don't know how I got on the rapture story. Do you remember how I got there, Phyllis? Hey, Wayner dude's with us.
I don't remember how you got on it, but that's okay. I just can't believe that the good Lord has delayed so long. I was sure that he would be here before, 2021 because of something that happened way back in 1991. But that's a long story. But anyway, I was just sure that it would be somewhere around 2021. And I was just expecting him seriously. And he never showed up. Not yet. But then again, I've been reading a lot in scripture about how the kingdom of God is in your heart. And you know how the kingdom of God begins? Like the oak seed, you know, becomes a tree and then grows so big that it feeds a lot and all this kind of good stuff. And so I've been thinking along those terms, you know. Maybe, just maybe, it's not going to hit us like a strike of lightning. So, anyway, I just accept whatever God wants me to accept because he's never been wrong yet.
No, he's never been wrong. And, you know, like Dr. Sutton always told us, God's not going to tell Jesus when he's coming back because Jesus would come straight to us and tell us, get ready. And Jesus is already telling us, get ready. So we encourage you to be ready. I remember Y2K 1999, and everything was just going to go all to pieces. The clocks were going to stop. The computers were going to stop. Everything was going to stop. And that was just a way for them guys to sell a bunch more computers and do a bunch more things. You know, that was
the
deal.
But there was something about 911 around about that time that was a big deal.
Well, and then it was the Mayan clock and all the rest of it. But you know what? It's where Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. And I have taught it over and over. I was on a program for a while called Ask the Pastor. It was a TV program when I was in Michigan. And people would call in, you know, pre, post, or mid, or trib, or whatever, you know. And I would just say every time, I'd like, well, it doesn't matter. If you're ready, what difference does it make to you when it happens? You believe in the fact that there will be a rapture and that God is coming for his people. So then, since you believe, then all you got to do is be ready. And if you're ready, when Jesus comes back, you're going to go with him. And, you know, yeah, what it comes down to is, like Paul said, quit arguing over useless words. Because the Bible is there. Now, at the same point, I am never going to stop studying it. And the more I have studied this, the more I realize there's not just one rapture. There's two raptures. And one middle, and that's when Jesus, or when all the people that die in the tribulation and are martyred for their faith, that's when they go to heaven. And so you realize that's why people can see a mid-trib rapture. Is because there actually is one. But that's not the rapture of the church. That's the rapture of the martyred. Now, I know somebody's going to chime in right about now and say, Pastor, give me chapter and verse. And I'm going to say, no, not tonight. Not tonight. Maybe Brother Dan knows where that verse is. But, you know, it's probably in like chapters 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there. But if you stick with us here in the month of January, we will be going through the book of Revelation again with Dr. Hilton Sutton. And we'll be going through the teaching by Brother John Bevere on Driven by Eternity. It was a powerful series. And then go right into the book of Revelation. And we're also going to do the series again, The Bait of Satan, where we just truly deal with the offenses that have come our way and learn to get past to them, because that's the only thing that stops us from receiving the things of God. The biggest opposing force is offense. And then, of course, unless you don't obey God, if you have a problem with obedience, well, then you're going to have a problem with that too. But You know what? When you get free from offense, now God can use you. And Brother John's got an excellent series on that. And we'll study that again here in the month of January. And that'll be a blessing to everybody. Now, tonight, we're going to be talking about a clean slate. I like that. A clean slate. Every time we get to the new year here in the United States of America, we're on the Gregorian calendar. It starts on January 1st. Every January 1st, we've got a clean slate. 2022 is done. 2023 has begun. And it is time this year to get some things written down, get some things planned out, and begin to really see God do mighty works in our lives every single day. And, you know, don't be afraid to put something big on your list. It's God Almighty who is going to be showing you and teaching you and instructing you what to do. So let him be big and do a marvelous work in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Sister Sunday Evening, good to have you with us tonight, ma'am. We bless you and all the Sundayites. Tonight we got the Philistites, the Danites, and the Sundayites with us. They're a good group of believers. And the Wayner Dudites. I like that. The Wayner Dudites over there on YouTube. Brother John, looks like so far it's your responsibility to share the link with everybody that's not here tonight. So everybody that you don't see there, just keep sharing it to them, saying, hey, where are you at? It is time to be on the program. And they'll come running like a big old flock of turkeys or something. Anyways, want to give you a good report from from Facebook. After the program this morning, Sister Leanne and I were sitting here talking, and I realized for some reason, I don't know how it would happen because I guarantee I wouldn't do it, but somehow somebody unliked my Facebook page for me, for the Community of Faith. So if you've wondered where I've been, I've searched for it, not been able to get to it. But today I just got in there and made sure. Well, then when I finally found it, I realized somehow I had unliked my Facebook, my own Facebook page, which doesn't even make sense why that would happen. But over there on Facebook, somebody's in my house. Is that you, love? If somebody says something besides her, we got a problem. Is that you, love?
Well, I'm 2,000 miles away, so it's not me.
What'd you say?
Rippy didn't even bark or nothing.
He's sleeping really good. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
It's good to see you here.
Hello.
Hi. How's Sophia tonight?
She's right here wanting to talk.
Is she?
Yeah.
Well,
hello.
Hi.
Hi, Sophia.
How are you?
Good.
Well, that's good
that
to hear.
That makes us very happy.
That's
I'm feeling better.
We're so
amen.
Happy about that.
Amen, amen, what? Amen, amen, amen. That's awesome. You're looking pretty tonight. You're about 5 o'clock.
She agrees with you.
All right, that's good. That's good. That's good. Love you too, Brother John. And Brother Roger Oxley's with us now. Well, thanks for letting us know that, Sunday. That's awesome because we've been praying for Sophie to get feeling better, and look at her. Now she's
has a doctor's appointment, I believe, tomorrow. And Sam's going to take her and just get her routine checkup, make sure all's okay, not a virus, you know. But she's eating better, much better. She's eating the heck out of Jell-O. I bought strawberry Jell-O for her because I know she likes it, and she's been wolfing it. Eating nuggets. She's been eating pretty good.
Well, who? I like strawberry Jell-O.
You need that liquid also.
Yep. I don't have strawberry Jell-O very often here, but I like it.
You should buy some.
Well, you know, now that you say that, you're probably right.
You buy Jell-O, you can make it up anytime.
No, wait. I want all the women to understand I was not complaining about how Sister Leanne cooks for me at all, okay? I'm not complaining at all. I'm very well taken care of, and so it's delicious food. So there. That way nobody freaks out.
I wasn't freaked out.
Well, no, it's not you. It's the other folks that send you the letters. You guys would never send me the letter, but you know how some people are. They send you a letter and they're like,
get whacked out of shape, yeah.
Yeah. You leave
we
our
would
sister.
Just send you instructions for how to open a box and pour it in some boiling water, and then you put it in the container and let it cool off and get solid, and then eat it. Very simple. Amen, Mom. Amen, Mom. Amen. Amen. It's so simple. You could even throw fruit into it, Pastor, or marshmallow.
Absolutely. That just makes it twice as good.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know which fruit matches good with strawberry Jell-O.
Well, you can put marshmallow.
If you open a can of peaches, it wouldn't matter. It would still be delicious.
Yep, apples. Apples are real good with it. Fruit cocktail.
All right, then.
Yeah. Just let you know. Banana.
I hope all the men are listening right now to these women give us great instruction of how to cook.
Well, everybody likes bananas and strawberries together.
Bananas and strawberry. Bananas would be good in it, yeah. I think blueberries would be good in it, too.
Definitely.
Now,
as a country girl with blueberries growing around the field where we had strawberries, yeah.
Yeah? Really? Same field?
Oh, of course.
Wow. That'd be quite a field. I'd be at that field all harvest season. You know, when I was in Alaska for the missionary trip and we flew out to the Yukon, out there in the Yukon, they had what they called salmon berries. And it was kind of a berry that was like a raspberry, blueberry, and strawberry all in one berry. And it was absolutely amazing. And we showed up at the missionary's house the first day we were there. And of course, there was two of us college young men there. We're 20 years old and two college young ladies. And they were about 20 years old. So there was four 20-year-olds there, and she had this big bowl of salmon berries there. She's like, help yourself to them salmon berries. And so, you know, you take one, you're like, wow. And within about 10 minutes, the whole bowl was gone. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, Karen. We just ate all your salmon berries. Where do we pick them? I'll go get some more. I mean, you know, I come from a family of seven. If you ate all the food and it was in the garden, then you wouldn't pick more. And so I said, well, I'll go pick some. She goes, no, you won't. I'm like, okay, why is that? She said, because you have to go across the river where the grizzly bears are. And I'm like, oh, well, all right. I said, well, can we take your son with us and he go and you know, maybe take a rifle with us or something? She's like, nope. You can't shoot the bears. They're holy. They might be grandpa. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty tough. And then she let us go. Me and her oldest son went over on the other side of the river to go get some. And man, there was just something about it that the thought that there would be a grizzly bear just right there in the woods, it just made you turn around and come back. And we got a few berries, but we got back and she's like, well, what's the deal? You didn't bring back very many. I'm like, it's just the thought of that grizzly bear out there, you know? And so anyways, another one of the cool stories to tell you, but I'm not sure how we got on Jell-O or grizzly bears, but it's all right. It's all good at the beginning of the year. Brother John Wainer, welcome. Brother Roger Oxy, good to have you guys over there on YouTube. Brother Dan, Sister
Hello, Sunday.
Sister Phyllis, we welcome you. Make sure you share this with those that you don't see. Anybody that's not been with us for a while, make sure you share it with them. Say, hey, we miss you. Y'all come back now. To all of you, oh, I don't guess we got this shared yet to Facebook. Are you home for good, love, or you already left?
No, I'm home.
All right, that's good. All right. I don't have it shared to Facebook yet, but I did share it with Roger. And Wayner's here, too, so. But anyways, this morning when we hooked up to Facebook, 191 people were reached on Facebook from 191 people were reached on Facebook from December the 4th to January the 3rd. So thank you, Lord. For those of you that's still been over there on Facebook making it happen, I don't know how I fell off the side of the Facebook earth, but who knows? You know how technology is. And we just keep doing the right thing, and God's hand of blessing and strength will be with us in everything that we do.
Are you on YouTube?
Yep, YouTube is live. Blog Talk Radio is live. Zoom is live. I'm alive and you're alive.
Amen.
Even Mr. Ripley's live. What did I do?
Huh?
What did they do?
About what?
I don't know.
Oh, nothing. I'm just trying to get to YouTube and it's going like this.
Well, I'll keep that thought to myself. Anyways, thank you for all of your prayers. As we enter the new year, remember, you're going to hear me say this over and over and over and over because we got to get it inside of our hearts. 2023, it's time to reap. For me, and that me is capitalized with quotations, meaning Jesus. It's time to reap for Jesus.
Anyway,
our verses of scripture for this year are found in John chapter 4, where Jesus said, the fields are white to harvest. Don't say there's yet 4 months and it's time to reap. Fields are white unto harvest now. Well, when you think about that, the fields being white to harvest now, that was 2,000 years ago. And the fields are still white to harvest, and there's probably some that the harvest is actually fallen by the wayside because nobody was there to pick it up. And if you've not been a part of the morning prayer times with us, they've been really great times so far this year. I want to say something about that, and then we'll get right into the teaching here in about another 2 to 5 minutes.
2 to 5 minutes.
2 to 5 gives me a little bit of stretch room in there. But, you know, I noticed that during, as we always do, hindsight is 20/20, right?
Yep.
The farther we get away from 2020, the clearer our vision gets about 2020. And, of course, there's a whole lot of people that when 2020 came, that meant the year of perfect vision. And then, you know, the goofballs in Washington and around the world thought they could change the whole world in 1 year. Little did they know the church was going to stand up. Corporations didn't stand up. There wasn't many that stood up, but the church stood up. Amen. And the radical church that stood up never will be the same, because they made a very severe line in the sand that causes all of those who are just playing church to be seen as church game players. And those of us that are on the cutting edge speaking to the mountain to be removed, we're going to see that happen. Where was I at today? I was studying a message somewhere, and they said literally in some year, they literally saw a mountain move in the nation of Costa Rica or somewhere. Who was saying that today? Did you hear that with me?
I didn't.
You didn't hear that? Okay. Anyways, an actual mountain moved.
Well, I told you about back in 1995 when I was living in California, and there that earthquake happened over there. After the earthquake, they measured, and there was 15 feet of distance between where the edge of the mountain had been and where it had moved. So it, the earth had grown 15 feet.
Wow.
Because of that earthquake.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
They just had one out in California. I think it was 6.4.
Really?
Right in San Francisco, yeah. And then there was the tremor, or the aftershock, was just as bad as the earthquake. They said, this happened just the other day.
My kids didn't say anything about it, so it must have been in the north.
Yeah. Well, I think isn't San Francisco roughly around the north on the shore there?
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, that's where it happened 25 years ago.
Well, it happened again just the other day, twice. They had it one time the same town, and they turned around and had it this week.
Wow.
It was last week they had one. It was 5.4, and then this time it was 6.4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's just the simple number of 30 earthquakes so far today. But
does the scripture say anything about California at part of the United States dripping off into the ocean and, you know, like... separating from the intelligent people, you know, from Texas and Oklahoma and so on, like, you know, anything like that?
I'm going to make a very important statement that all of us should learn to make as we go through our Christian life. The last I knew from my study of Scripture, no. However, that doesn't mean somebody hasn't found a verse of Scripture that says, and the peninsula floated off into the ocean. You know, who knows? If you know of a verse that says California is about to be broken off and sent away, you know, make sure you share it with us.
I've been checking. I haven't found it yet, though.
They've been saying that for years.
Well,
for years.
What I love about California, there's a lot of good Bible-believing, faith-talking Jesus people in the nation, in the state of California. And even though they continually end up with the stupid political leaders that keep trying to take them the wrong way, I don't believe for a minute it's because that's an actual vote. I truly believe as we look at California, there's more than enough people who are voting and Christians who are standing up saying, there ain't no way we're doing that stuff. That it's
but
just...
in the last 6 months, a whole bunch of my family from California has moved back to the east.
Yeah, to
the middle of the United States, or to the east, or, you know, Tennessee, that kind of thing.
Get away, yeah. Yeah, that one day, Sister Leanne and I was out at the National Park down here getting a petition signed. And people say, we would always ask people, because there was people there from all over the world. They'd say, where are you from? And what, this group of four ladies said, California. And we're like, well, you're welcome. Just leave that other stuff back there. They're like, and they got so mad. They're like, we hate that place. Like, oh, Jesus. We hate. And those four ladies said, what's going on in California is not what everybody, it's not what Californians want. It's what the elite, the media, the movies and them, it's what they want. Yeah, that's right, John. They want out. And my children, my daughter and her family, they went to live in California, go to Bible college. And yeah, it's bad, but they love being there. And, somebody's got to help the place know Jesus. And there's some very, very seriously powerful churches there. So, well, this isn't my subject at all. And I said 2 to 5 minutes a few minutes ago. So let's stop before we hit the 5 mark and get ourselves focused here and be a part. Let's do our, we haven't done our confession now in quite some time. Not out of anything more than it's just Christmas and we got so much to do. But let's do a little bit of our confession like we would normally do. And that way everybody can remember the prayer assignments and the different things that God has given unto us. And so let me see here. There's that. All right. That'll work. So like we always say, make sure at home you have your microphones muted so that it doesn't go live and overpower the screen where everybody is reading the prayer confession. We encourage you, read this prayer confession right out loud in your home, yourself. Speak it boldly in faith. Nobody's there but you, the dog, the cats, or maybe none of them, or just the mice. And it will, you know, this is statements of faith and prayer that God has given into this ministry for us to speak boldly. And we do it regularly. We do it obediently. And thank God we're known for this in Jesus' mighty name. So if you will, stand together with me and we'll make our pledge of allegiance like we do. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who've paid the last full measure of devotion, those who at some point in their lifetime, because of combat, bear the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. Now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean white with foam. My home, sweet home. God bless America. My home, sweet home. And now, our opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God. As the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We fulfill the Great Commission today, 28:18, and Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the earth. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless our partners and each believer in these nations: United States of America, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Malawi, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Uganda, Tunisia, Oman, United Arab Emirates, Bulgaria, New Zealand, Australia, New Guinea, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, Nepal, India, Pakistan, Turkey, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, Kazakhstan, China, Romania, and all the nations of the world. That list of nations that we just read are the list of nations that are continually listening to our program, that we can see, you know, when we go and check our screen and see who it is, what nations are there. These are the nations that's there. The command and blessing of unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. Prophesy this out loud with me over the body of Christ around the world today. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. Ephesians 4:11-13. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, isn't that something? Anybody even know where that screen came from?
What screen?
The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. Seems to be the next one. So that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders, but speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others. And now, the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every child that's been aborted cries out today, Father, heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert our justice system and destroy our children. We ask for your mercy. We repent of the sins of this nation. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. This is the preamble to the Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. As we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the name, high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, might, and dominion, in the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind all of the effects of the isms, atheism, secular humanism, communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, and all isms. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America, which righteousness, which is our strength, righteousness exalts this nation. Whoops. God said, touch not my prophets, anointed, and do my prophets no harm. To all the isms, you have no right or claim or historic authority to this promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you, not our Bibles, our Constitution, or our rifles. You may think we've been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every pit you have dug for freedom, liberty, and the United States of America to fall into, you fall into yourself and are destroyed immediately. In Jesus' name, amen. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are rebuilding the walls of righteousness. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, amen and amen and amen. Now, you may not have ever been a part of a ministry that puts a prayer up like that and everybody says it together. But I learned this a long time ago, and that is this, that the more of us that actually speak a prayer of the same words out loud together, the greater the authority that it has. Why? You're using your gift and your faith producer, your mouth. You're using your gift and your mouth, which produces faith, to speak to the mountain. That's why when we were first here in 2020, it seemed like all of us had such great faith. Why? Because we gave ourselves to the word for 3, 4, 5 hours a night, and we spoke the word together. We were filled with fire and excitement. Well, then life has happened, and the pandemic, you know, backs off, and people begin to go back to work, and everything that happened. And, of course, cares of the world increase, and you and I now got to deal with it, and we begin to look at life and say, well, maybe that's not as important as what it used to be. And you know, I'll be by there a couple times a week, maybe. And man, at least I'll be by on Sunday and Saturday night for question and answer session. And I want to say this to encourage you. During that period of time, we operated at a high level of faith. Why? We were giving ourselves to the Word of God. Now, naturally, you're not going to be able to give yourself 8 hours a day now like you was then. And of course, unless you got that much time and you don't have a job or something that you're doing. But I want to encourage you something, that the anointing of God that was on us to do the prayer program in the morning, it was noon then, and then the evening program at night, there was an anointing on us. And as we give ourselves to that anointing, and as we give ourselves to that, and we stand there saying to that mountain to be removed, it builds faith on the inside of us. And the faith that it builds on the inside of us causes us to overcome every single day of our life. Well, so as soon as you stop speaking to the mountain to be removed, stop praying for your brother and sister for that mountain to be removed. Stop rebuking sickness and disease every time somebody comes down here and says, I'm fighting this physical battle. The less of those conquering prayers you pray, the more the enemy is going to come at you to strip you of any faith that you have. And he can't unless you get involved. And you accept those words that he gives you to say. And then if you accept those words, now all of a sudden, You know, people are like, yeah, but Pastor, they sound like my words. Well, they were a fiery dart shot at you, sent by an enemy in the middle of what's going on in your life. But the word that you and I have is the word of faith from this book. What would Jesus say in that situation? I know for a number of years we've had the shirts and everything, the hats. Coach, what would Jesus do? Well, what Jesus would do is he would only do what he sees the Father do, and he would only say what he hears the Father say. Well, the only thing Father's ever going to say is life and life more abundantly. He's only ever going to say health and strength and peace and blessing. That is all the Father's ever going to say, because that's all in heaven that he has to say. There's no sickness in heaven. He can't send it here. There's no disease in heaven. He can't give it to you. There's no poverty. There's no lack. There's no confusion. There's none of the characteristics of our enemy in heaven, so Father can't send them to you. So you and I got to look at all of that and say, that is from the one and only enemy of my life, that is from my enemy, the devil. And so I encourage you, as we go through this year, get very bold with the words that you're saying, and allow nothing out of your mouth at all that the Father wouldn't say himself sitting on the throne. He wouldn't say, I'm sick. He's not. He wouldn't say, I'm broke. He's not. He wouldn't say, I'm weak. He's not. There's none of broke, sick, or weak in heaven. Heaven, Pastor, I feel it in my body, in my finances, in my life. I know. I know what you feel in there. But here's the thing. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for me. So I know what you experience, and this is the message of faith that we preach every day. And the answer to have the peace is speak peace, right in the middle of what is a peace. The answer to have blessing is to speak blessing right in the middle of the period of time when there is no blessing. The answer for understanding to come to you is when life is right in your face, you say, the Holy Spirit is giving me understanding every day.
And instead of being offended, we say, I am inspired to try harder.
Amen.
I am inspired to do more.
Amen.
Instead of being offended, we practice forgiveness and mercy, because God's mercy is new every day.
Every day.
That's enough preaching from me. Go ahead. You were doing great.
Amen. Well, offense is one of the number one things that slows anybody down. And you and I got to be certain that we are continually dealing with it. Now, so, you know, this statement that I've just made about the words of your mouth and watching them, it's just like, it's like the most core doctrine that you got to say. And I want every one of us to understand that there's not a one of us that's not going to have to continually check our conversation, check our thoughts that are within us, and look at ourselves and say, it is time to get yourself together and say the right words. You know, people have said, well, you know, what's going on with you? Well, I don't know. Well, if you keep saying, I don't know, you won't know. Well, Pastor, what in the world do I say? The Holy Spirit is showing me. That's what you say. When you honestly don't know, the only and the greatest thing you can say is, the Holy Spirit who lives within me is showing me. And then you mark the rest of it down to, shut up flesh, shut up mind. I delight to do the will of him who sent me. One of my favorite verses that I speak all the time is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses, I think it's verse number 9, that says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, have an exceeding abundance every day unto every good work. And it's a decision. You have to cause yourself to make that statement. All grace, and God is making all grace abound toward me. I'm an abundant sower. I'm an abundant giver. I'm an abundant lover. I truly am giving my whole life to helping others. Therefore, God is making all grace abound in my life right here, right now, tonight. And, you know, every one of us from time to time are going to look at life and say, what? And yet you can't. You got to look at life and say, move now. God, there's no sit still in God. God is a moving God. And since he's already done all the work, the next move is always on our part. And I know there's sometimes you might be like, well, I'm not certain of the next move. And so I'm just going to, you know, wait here a week or two and see what God says. Well, waiting to see what God says shouldn't take you more than a couple hours, because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And yet that's a very specific process that you have to learn how to shut down your mind and your heart and the circumstantial evidence around you, and teach yourself to say, I delight to do thy will, Father. What is it that you would have me do today in Jesus' mighty name? Well, there we go. Our opening prayer, usually I like to do that about 7 o'clock. But we'll get back there this year. And thank you for being a part of that with me and saying them prayers boldly and standing in faith with us. Now, let's remind you of a couple things. It's the beginning of the year, so this is always a good time to fast. Now, so far already this year, I've not given us a fasting schedule to say this week we're fasting this, that, or the other. But, you know, I was praying about it today. And as I was praying, I know the Holy Spirit said to me to name a fast for all of us to fast. Now, it's up to you if you do it. I'm not your God. I'm not your Holy Spirit. I'm a leader giving everybody a focal point to focus on. And so Jesus told the disciples this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. But he wasn't talking about a demon. He was talking about unbelief. This kind of unbelief only comes out through prayer and fasting. And so I encourage you to continually be in prayer and fasting. Don't just go into starvation. Starvation doesn't get anything done with God. The purpose of fasting is to control your fleshly appetites so that they are no longer the strongest, most powerful voice in your life. And so I encourage you to join with us. So what I'm going to call for this week is a week of fasting our sweets. All right. And, you know, it's the 4th of January now. That's given you enough time to eat all the sweets you had left from the New Year's Eve party, most of them. And then just begin to join with us in this fast. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And let's make that a unity and the fast for sweets. And just give that up and in honor of reaching in and seeking in and draw closer to God. That's the whole purpose of the fast. And I know I've had some people that be like, I have a pastor, if I fast and then whatever it is, I get a headache, I get this, that, and the other. Well, yeah, that just letting you know your body's still getting control of you. Yeah. Last year, Sister Leanne and I at the beginning of the year did a 40-day fast. And, you know, I remember saying, man, usually about 3 days, this thing just really kicks in and makes a miserable mess for me. But, you know, as soon as I said it last year, I realized, well, of course, that's what I'm going to get because that's what I always say. And we've come to the understanding we're spirit. We have a soul, a mind, will, emotion. We have a body. You, the spirit man, tell your body what it is going to do and what it's not. And I'm like, God, you're not going to go into withdrawals. I don't want them. They're not of God. So don't give them to me. Well, we went right through it. And about 37 days into the fast, we were doing something. And on YouTube, I think somebody sent it to us about fasting, about a doctor that uses fasting just for good health. And he was talking about a 40-day fast. And you realize, man, there's this whole group of society. They're not even believers. And they're fasting 40 days just for good health and getting their bodies in order. I'm like, wow, isn't that just something? And it was an amazing lesson to us to say it's not just the spiritual nature of this, it's also the physical nature. We'll be fasting sweets from now till next Sunday, and then we'll switch on Sunday, add something else to the fast, and we encourage you to join with us in that. You know, when Jesus said this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting, he wasn't talking about demons. You read that verse. It's in the book of Luke. He said this kind of unbelief, this kind of unbelief only goes out by prayer and fasting. Well, starvation doesn't make unbelief go out. Dealing with your flesh is what makes unbelief go away. And the only way you can do that is to fill your life with the Word of God, because that's what's going to cause the flesh to submit to the Spirit, and you're going to overcome. Now, tonight, somebody can tell somebody saying, man, Pastor, you preached like what, five messages so far tonight? Well, we do a good job of making sure you truly get the Word of God in you every time you come here. And if we could, we would sing some songs. At the beginning of every program this year, I'm going to be playing some worship music, and I want you to come and be a part of that with us, just so we start our program out with worship and in honor of Almighty God in Jesus' mighty name. Well, here we go. Let's get into our teaching for tonight. This is called A Clean Slate 2023. It's Time to Reap for Me is our theme for the year. And tonight's message is called A Clean Slate. A Clean Slate. And, you know, when we were in grade school, when I was in grade school, maybe not you, but when I was in grade school, we had chalkboards, and that chalkboard was called a slate. So when you have a clean slate, there's nothing that's on that, and it's open to add some good stuff to it, and it'll be a blessing. And, you know, it gave you lots of room to do whatever. I never liked going up to the chalkboard because I always felt like I never did a good job, or I was always going to mess up, and you might be one of those people. But you know what? That was a long time ago. If you've lived from 20 to 30 and you've lived 10 years of life since you were in school, you've already lived successful. Whether you got A's, B's, C's, D's, or maybe you just flunked out of school. Don't let school stop you any longer. A teacher, the ridicule that may have happened to you there in school. Many people suffered many things in school that had very much damage on them. And yet, there's some people that's been out of school for 50 years. And yet, things that happened back then are still in control of their life. Why? Because of the traumatic event that happened with it. And they never dealt with the trauma. So they're continually reliving what was said or done to them back in that situation. And right now, tonight, based in 1 John chapter 4, there is no fear in God's perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. I bind you trauma from our childhood. I command your power to be broken and loosed from people's lives right now in the name of Jesus. If that's you, just say, I receive it. And even if it isn't you, say, I receive it in my life right now. Maybe it wasn't school. Maybe it was in your childhood, and it was your mom or your dad or your grandpa or uncle, somebody, or the guy lived down the street. There's all kinds of people when we were young. The enemy sent them on purpose to wound your spirit, to cause you to not be able to conquer and declare it. If you want to type it in, write in the comments and just say it. I receive it. It's a powerful thing to do. Why? Because it is a traumatic situation. I remember a long time ago, and I've been past it now for quite a few years, but when I was in kindergarten, which was just a couple years ago, not too long, my teacher, my kindergarten teacher, made me drink a warm, spoiled milk. I was in kindergarten. And, of course, I liked milk before then. I enjoyed the taste of milk. I would drink milk, you know, anytime it was given to me to drink. So when she forced me to drink that warm, spoiled milk, that was a very, very traumatic situation to me. I was in kindergarten, so you know, what are you, 5 years old? And it wasn't just a little bad. It was really bad. And it was warm. And, of course, I got sick to my stomach from it and everything. And then that made her get upset that I got sick to my, you know, it's just that whole situation. You know how it goes. And for many years after that, I couldn't drink white milk because of that situation, because of how it affected everything about me. You know, that's going to affect your taste buds and all the rest of that. And it literally took a very, very specific act of faith to get it dealt with. It took a very specific act of faith. And I began to speak against that and speak the word of God and see things, you know, that was, it's just to see the truth so that the truth could set me free. And thank God for that. So whatever it is in your life that you have, maybe something like that happened to you, you got to get free from it. Because if it didn't happen to you today, it's in the past. And there's no reason for a single thing in your past to hold you down, slow you down, stop you another day. Not another day. When we come to Jesus, he gives us a clean slate. Come with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we're going to read the story of Nicodemus tonight. This is one of the stories that talks about being made new. And this is Jesus teaching the principles of being born again. And so that means you are a new creation when you are born again. And so that would be a clean slate. So that's where we're going to go for our story tonight. Now, anybody seen Sister Kathy Angaroni tonight? Kathy, if you're here, we're glad to have you come and read for us tonight. All right. And, you know, throughout this year, I'm going to ask people to read. And I want you to feel free to be somebody that wants to read. Just remember, if you're going to read, we're going to need to make sure you got your house quiet. Because if the dogs are barking or the TV's going or the radio's going in the background, that's not going to make for a good reading experience. And that's just part of what we got to do to enjoy reading the Word of God. Bob, could you get me a cup of coffee, please? Here we go. John chapter 3, the new birth. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. A little maple syrup. Thank you. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. He's a Pharisee, but he's not just a nominal Pharisee. He's actually a ruler of the Pharisees. And so he's going to come to Jesus at night because he's going to wonder, you know, he's got a position that he doesn't want anybody to be able to take away from him. And of course, when it came to Jesus, people were losing their positions. Well, like the one story talks about, they told him, "We will put you out of the synagogue if you follow after the Christ." And you know, what's interesting about that is following the Christ is the answer. And yet they were going to be told that they were going to be put out of the synagogue. Well, who cares about the synagogue anyways? Jesus said, that's going to make you all the more a child of hell. And goodness sakes, you don't want that to be the situation said about you by Jesus the Christ. Let's keep reading. "You are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you." I love Jesus' answers. Remember, Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say." John chapter 5. So here's what Jesus' answer was. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" I mean, Jesus' answer just stopped Nicodemus right in his tracks. He was like, "What? How am I going to get back in my mama's womb?" You know, Nicodemus, he's probably 5'9", 10", Pharisee, you know, and he's, you know, he's full grown man. How am I going to get my mama's womb? All right. Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you are one is born of water and the Spirit," born of water, that's your mom, went through the birth canal, water broke, and you were born. "And the Spirit," that's being born again, "he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Verse 7. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from, and you cannot tell where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." I mean, think about the wind. You can see it blowing in a tree, but you don't know where it goes after it goes past that tree. It's going out there. You can't see the course of the wind, you know, the currents or anything. It's just the wind. This is what it's like when you're born of the Spirit. "Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be?" Now, watch what Jesus said. "Are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? How can you be a teacher of Israel and you do not know what I'm saying these? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If we told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven." Do you notice that he says, "who is in heaven"? It doesn't say who was in heaven. It says, "the Son of Man who is in heaven." Wow, that's interesting. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here's our, blew him right out of his sandals. That's right, John. Maybe out of his tunic too. You never know. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Thank you for
welcome.
Bringing me coffee, love.
Welcome.
Coffee. Thank God for coffee. Now, our message tonight, a clean slate. Now, God said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Of course, Nicodemus was operating in his mind. If you think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and that whole group of religious leaders, they were all religious leaders from the point of view of the law, and you must memorize the law, and you must do absolutely everything in the law, and you cannot fail one part of the law. It's the law. Well, it didn't take much spirit to be able to get that done. It took a whole lot of discipline. But it was all brainular. It was all of the mind. It was all of, just the brain. That's all it was. You memorized the law and then you did it. So there was no spirit in it. But Jesus is saying, you not only have to be born of your mama, but you've got to be born again. Now, let's lay a foundation here, and then we're going to read some verses about a clean slate. You ready? Go with me now to Genesis. We'll go clear back to the beginning and lay a foundation for this. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, first of all. Genesis 1, 26. Those of you that's on the different platforms, make sure you add the verses in there as we teach it, because it helps the next group of people as they come along to be able to receive it. Now that I finally got connected to Facebook again, those of you who join us every night on Facebook, you're very welcome to, in the comments as we're teaching the message, or even in the chat. I don't even know if it still goes. We got so suspended from being able to use it that we just quit worrying about it, because there was anything we could do. Genesis 1, 26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God made this earth for man. God made the earth for man. And God saw everything that he made and said, it's good. Man was the very last thing he put on the earth, because he knew that if man was here when he started dropping mountains in, man's probably going to get squashed by the mountains. So when man was put on the earth was completely furnished with everything that it needed to have. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verses 8, and we'll run this right down through 25, Genesis 2, 8 through 25. It's not necessarily, we won't read all those verses. However, that's the context that we're going to have. Genesis 2, 8 through 25, the Lord God planted a garden eastward. God is a gardener. He planted a seed. That's why everything in this kingdom from heaven is in seed form. That's why we tell you all the time, sow your time, your talent, and your treasure. What are you sowing? Seed. Every word you say is a seed. Every act you do is a deed, is a seed. Everything you give as in finances or blessing to somebody is a seed, because God planted a garden and you and I are planted in it. And out of the ground, the Lord made every tree that was going to grow. All right. So then he put in some rivers. All right. It tells the name of the rivers. Verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Now watch. Adam's assignment then was tend and keep. Our assignment today has not changed. Just because it's 2022 and we're 7,000 years approximately from when Adam was put in the garden, it doesn't change it, because in God's kingdom, he sets things in order, and that's the way it is. God planted a garden and he put man in it to tend and keep it. He has never revoked that. He's never took that away from man. Adam submitted under the devil, and so now we've got to fight the enemy that Adam surrendered it to until Jesus comes back again. But we're fighting a defeated enemy. So our assignment is to tend and keep. Now watch what God says. The Lord commanded man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? You must be born again. God said to Adam, the day you eat of this tree, you will die. Now watch. Thank God for a good cup of coffee. Verse 18. The Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. Made him a helper, comparable to him." Her name was Eve. Hey, evening, Rebecca. It's good to have you with us. All right. And let's go down here. 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. All right. So he gave him the garden, said, you can eat of every tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that. The day you eat it, you'll die. Chapter 3, verse 1. We're laying the foundation for a clean slate. Remember, you're starting 2023 with a clean slate. Get some things written down on your piece of paper that you're going to do throughout this year. Some of you are like, well, Pastor, do you write things down? Yeah, I do. I got me one of these here notebooks like this. You might get a big fancy one. What's this one? 5 subject notebook. I just put the date up there. And that way, no matter what, every day when I pull up this notebook, I got a date there. And then I write down the events of the day and things that happened. And this is a running record of what it is that God's saying to me and what I got to get done. And I encourage you to do the same thing. I like a spiral notebook, big notebook I can keep, but you might not like that. You might like a little one, or you might buy a fancy thing or something. That's up to you. I encourage you to do it because it continually helps you see what God's been saying to you. And when you go back and read it, It gives you the ability to see where you've grown and developed in God. If you don't ever write anything down, you never get to see the valuable lessons that God has brought you to. Sure, you'll be able to see, yeah, you know, I grew and developed since then, but the more details you put in that book, the more you realize what God has done for you in your life. Now, chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent was more cunning than the... I'm going to go 3, 1 through... we'll go down through verse... well, it's the whole chapter. It's 1 through 24. Serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. He said to the woman, "Has God indeed said you shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" And the woman said, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Well, God didn't say don't touch it. He said don't eat it. Some scholars believe that they were able to touch it because they were to take it as a tithe and take it to as an offering before the Lord. It doesn't say that, but that's how some scholars believe. Verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die." See how it comes? A little bit, at a little time, just a little bit, challenging what God says. God knows in the day you eat it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, yeah, it is. That's exactly what happened, because the enemy knew that his eyes were open, because he said, "I'll exalt myself against God," and now he knew evil like he'd never known it before. God kicked him out of heaven immediately. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord said, "Adam, where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And God said, "All three of you come here." And he's going to deal with the situation. But the most important thing that happens right here is you and I've got to see, did they actually die a physical death? There was only two people on the earth then, Adam and Eve. If they had died physically, you and I wouldn't be here. And so Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus is like, "I don't even know what that means. How in the world am I going to get back in my mama's womb and come out, you know, of the birth canal like I did when I'm a big old guy like me?" You know, of course, Nicodemus is probably bigger than his mama. Most men grew up to be bigger than their mama. But see, what we realize, Adam and Eve did not die in their physical body. Their spirit man, which was in perfect communion with the Father, that is what was severed. That relationship was severed. And their spirit man died. They were still alive, but that spirit connection between God was now severed. And, of course, we know the story. God said to Adam and Eve, "You got to leave the garden. You know, you might eat of the tree of life and live forever in sin, and I'm not going to let that happen." And so they had to leave the garden. And then, you know, there in Genesis chapter 3, God said to the serpent, I'm coming back, and I'm going to crush your head. Jesus said it. I'm coming back, and I'm going to crush your head. And you might bruise my heel, but I'm going to crush your head throughout all of history. For 7,000 years, all through the written history of the Word of God, we've seen the enemy continually beaten, continually destroyed, right in front of the eyes of God's people who will stand up and have faith. So God said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Well, this is what you and I know, that the part of them that must be born again is their spirit man must be brought back to life into a living spirit, a living being again on the inside of you. That's why when you and I are born again and we say, I received you, Jesus, it's like our whole inside comes to life. I was talking with a young man a while back, and he said, man, Pastor, I gave myself to God, got myself all wrapped up in religion, didn't like a bit of it, and so I decided to go back out and be back in the world and try to drink and run around and party. And he said, my goodness, what a mess that was. I'm like, you're spoiled for that, man. That ain't going to work. He goes, I know. And then the moment I said to Jesus, Jesus, he said, I didn't even get the full statement. Jesus, will you please receive me and help me? He said, as soon as I said Jesus, his wonderful spirit filled every part of my life again. And he said, just like that, I was filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. And I said, of course you were. God didn't go away from you. God didn't leave you. God wasn't away from you. God was inside of you. You were covering him up with all of that other stuff that was keeping you from being able to enjoy the wonderful relationship, because you'd already been born again. Your spirit man has already come to life. And now all you are is just a son that's got to grow up and understand who God is. And at the beginning, you know, when you're a toddler and you're just learning to walk, you bump into things, you fall down, you fall backwards, you fall sideways, you fall forward. But you know what? A wise father and mother would never belittle and condemn a child for falling down. What do? They just reach out, pick them up, stand them back up, say, here you go, stand back up here. And you rise up and you live in strength. Now watch this. You and I must see that God gives us a new slate. Now watch this. I'm going to give us a couple of verses out of the Old Testament that talks about this, and then we'll go to the New Testament. And it seems Ezekiel was one of the prophets that God spoke about this to the most. Here we go. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. I encourage you, open your Bible up so that you can see it. Now, we know that Adam and Eve, after they sinned, you know, wickedness filled the earth, and man was extremely wicked, and there came a point where God said, that's it. I got to wipe out the human race because these people, every thought and imagination of man is completely wicked, and the only people on the face of the earth he could find at that point was Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives. Eight people that out of all the population of the whole world, there was only eight people that God could save on the earth at that time. Well, you know, when you start thinking about that fact, you realize there was a serious amount of wickedness going on because, let me see if I can grab this real quick here. Anyways, it's a couple thousand years from the garden, and so there was a lot of people on this earth. Man was continually having children and giving birth to children. Well, let's look at this verse in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse number 19. And let's see, we better grab a few verses besides that. Let's go to 16, and then we'll read down through 21. 16 through 21. And if you don't have it, these verses underlined in your Bible, maybe you should. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. God's saying, I'm still going to be with them if they're going to chase after me. Remember what God said? He rewards those who diligently seek him. 17. Therefore, say, see, God is speaking to the prophet Ezekiel to speak. Thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you've been scattered. I'll give you the land of Israel. And they will go there. They'll take away all the detestable things and all its abominations from them, from there. Now look at 19. I will give them one heart. Didn't say he would take that old heart and just get rid of what's there. Said, I'll give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within them, clean slate, and take away the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Want to say it with me? Thank you, Lord, that you take away the stony heart in Jesus' name. 20, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now, if you want to write it in there, your Bible right there, like I am, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 19. 2 Corinthians 6, 12 through 19. Now, verse 21 says, but as for those whose hearts follow the desire for the detestable things and their abomination, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. It is all the way through the Bible, guys. We've got to walk with God and get the revelation of becoming a new creation. Let's go to another one. Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. And let's go down here to Ezekiel 18, 29 through 32. We're seeing it in the Old Testament, and then we're going to go to the New. Yet the house of Israel says the way of the Lord is not fair. Have you ever heard people say that about God? Oh, house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not fair? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent, turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. God is telling them, turn, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. There's only one way to get a clean slate, and that's to talk with, and that's to do it the way that God gives us to do it. Now, here we go. Verse 31, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed. Get yourselves, look at this statement, a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. In the book of Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, God says to the children of Israel, get you a new heart and a new spirit. Now, I'm telling you right now, if you haven't ever put it in there right now, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. And I just write it right in the side of my Bible. That's why I like this Bible so much, because it gives you lots of room to write right there next to those verses. This is Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31. And then I go over to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I write that verse in there. So the next time I'm over there, I got both sets of verses to read. Let's grab another one, Ezekiel 36. Brother Ezekiel did a lot of talking to the children of Israel about a new heart. Look at this, Ezekiel 36, and let's go down here. Let's go. Let's go 21. Through 29. Ezekiel 36, 21 through 29. Everybody all right? I think this is a great study tonight about a clean slate. Just a minute. We're going to go to the New Testament, and we're going to see God say the same things. Don't worry. We won't be here all night. We'll just be here for a little bit longer. 21. But I had concern for my holy name. This is God speaking through Ezekiel, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. So he's looking right at him and saying, I'm not even doing this because you. I'm doing this for my own name's sake, because you went into those nations and you profaned my name right there amongst yourself. So now I got to get it all cleaned up. Here we go. 24. I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. That's happening every day right now. Israel's going back. 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all filthiness and from all your idols. Go ahead, says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Look at this next verse. I will put my spirit within you. Now, guys, Old Testament people did not have the Spirit of God living in them. They were not filled with the Spirit like you and I. The Spirit of God came on them every now and then, but mostly the Spirit of God came on the prophets or the priests or one of them. And, you know, what's interesting is, those in the Old Testament who truly decided they were going to have all of God, Spirit of God came on them and was in them all the time. Ready? 27. Put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You keep my judgments and do them. dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Somebody want to shout hallelujah? Thank you, Jesus. I
hallelujah.
Am your people. Hallelujah. 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 Now, 29, I will deliver you from all of your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. Amen and amen and amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now we go here every night because this is the verses about communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. This is all about a new life. Watch this. What did I say? 11:25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus was, when you read the book of Luke, it says he sat down with the disciples and said, I desired to eat this Passover with you, greatly desired it, because it was the last Passover that would ever be necessary. And when it was finished, he poured a cup of juice, a cup of wine, whatever it was. He got a piece of bread. And he said, this is my body that's broken for you. And he gave him the cup and he said, this is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. And he took that whole Passover meal and he wrapped it up into what you and I do every night here in our communion elements. And what would take them a whole day, a whole week at times, a whole celebration system, God, through Jesus, put into one event that we do in the matter of 15 minutes here with us. Let the church do it within 2 minutes. And it just usually becomes crackers and bread, but you don't want to do that. But now, let's keep reading. Let's look at another one. Ephesians chapter 4. Say this with me. I receive the new heart that God has for me.
I receive the new heart God has for me.
Amen and amen. Here we go. 4:20 through 24. But you have not so learned Christ. Ephesians 4:20 through 24. You have not so learned Christ, if indeed you heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That you, look at this, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man. I don't know how much clearer you can get it right here. Which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God into true righteousness and holiness. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? You must be born again. You got put off the old man and put on the new man. Well, now, there's a lot of people that, to them, that is, I got to act religious, I got to talk religious, I got to look religious. No, no. That means you start living every day walking with God the Father as if he's walking right with you every step you take. And all of a sudden you realize, wait, he is walking with me every step I take because he lives on the inside of me and he's continually every day, all the time, bringing him, drawing me to come closer to him. There's no human on the face of the earth that can get between you and God and getting closer to God. Anybody that does that, you got to look and say, why did that person say that? Are they really trying to get between me and God and me being close to God? And many times we just misunderstand what somebody says, but sometimes people don't want you close to God because they want you to be religious like them, but I'm not going to be religious. I'm going to be close to God. Anybody want to join me? I'm going to put on the new man. Everybody said, I'm putting on the new man. I am putting on the new man. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Let's see. Let's do 6 through 11. Colossians 3, 6 through 11. Amen. Brother John, glory, glory, hallelujah. The 90-second lady is here already. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Or no, verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Get rid of them. Do not lie to one another. All right? And since you've put off the old man with his deeds, look at there. You put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Want to say it with me? I have put on the new man. Glad you all said it. Gave me an opportunity to have a drink of coffee.
I said it.
I know. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Then what you can read the next 6 verses and find out what the character of the new man is. But let's keep going. I got another one for us. Colossians 3:10. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Second Corinthians 5:17. And we'll do 17 through 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The old is gone, and you're now new. All things are of God, who's reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Well, God is in Christ, and Christ is in you. And he's reconciling the world to us. Look at what it says. Not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word, the ministry of reconciliation. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews 8. Now, I'd just like to read this whole chapter, but we can't do that. because we'll run out of time. But here we go. Let's grab a few verses here. Hebrews chapter 8. Let's do verses 6 through 13. Hebrews 8, 6 through 13. Watch this. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, Jesus, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant. A new ministry, better covenant, which was established on better promises. Want to say it with me? Better, better. That's what Jesus says to you and I, better, better. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. So God's telling us he's going to give us a new heart, a new spirit, and a new covenant. All right? And the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took him out of the land by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. Verse 10. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Verse 10, you ready? I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. He said it in Ezekiel, and he said it in Ephesians. He said it in Colossians. He said it all the way through the Bible that he's going to give us a new heart and a new spirit, and he's going to put his law inside of our hearts and minds. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, none of his brothers, saying, know the Lord. For all of you will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Want to say it with me? Thank you, Father, that you make me new.
Thank you, Father, that you made me new.
New. That's why when people are born again, they're like, man, that's an amazing rush. One guy told me, like, that's the best time I've ever had right there. Now, let's go over here to let's do Hebrews 9, 14. 15 and 22. Hebrews 9, 14, 15, and 22. I'd just like to read the whole chapter, but we're out of time. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse or purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Or so that you can serve the living God. For this reason, he's the mediator of a new covenant. It's a new one. By means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But with the shedding of blood, there is remission of sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this will be our final set of verses. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? You're a new creation. They're not. Those two beings are going to clash regularly. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? It doesn't. You're going to win the world. You're going to be the light, and they're going to come out of the light to you. You don't go to the darkness to them. They come out of the light. They come out of the darkness to your light. What court has Christ with Belial, or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement is the temple of God with idols? There is none. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, come out from among them, workers of iniquity, and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Look at this verse. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. What does God ask us to do? Come out from among them and be separate. And he is going to be a blessing. He said, I will be your God and you will be my people. And then he said, I'm going to be amongst you. And I will be the father and you will be my sons and daughters. Say it with me. I am a child of Almighty God. A child of Almighty God. Romans chapter 8. I got to read this. Romans 8, 14 through 17. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, my Father, my Father. The Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We have been made the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, join heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, then we will also be glorified together with him. God said, I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You know, I wasn't going to say that, but I might as well. Romans chapter 5, let's add this to our verse list for the night. Romans 5, and this will be verses 15 through 21. I'm not going to read it, but five times in Romans 5, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit speaks through Paul saying that it's the free gift of righteousness that transforms us. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Apostle Paul. Any man that's in Christ is a new creation. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Apostle Paul right here, that when God comes to us, he's offering us the free gift of righteousness to us. He's offering it to us. And we thank God for it. Thank you, Lord, for the free gift of righteousness. And then he said, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And all the way through those six verses, you and I can see God has given us his righteousness that he gave to Jesus. And Jesus gave it to us. He gives it to us. He makes us into it when we're born again. You might say, Pastor, how in the world do you do it? I don't know. How does he forgive you of sin? I don't know. He said it. You believe it. You receive it. And it's done. And it's done. And it's done forever. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Want to say it with me? I am a new creation. Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And guys, what I just laid out for us tonight by the Holy Spirit is Old Testament. This isn't everything. This is just a slight touching of the verses that talk about God making us into a new creation. You're born again, and he gives you a clean slate. Now, here's the cool thing. At the beginning of every day, when you're still laying in your bed in the morning, I encourage you to lay there and make the declaration. Thank you, Jesus, that by your blood, my sins were forgiven and washed away. By your righteousness, I get to live every day. Before I ever get out of this bed in the morning, I thank you that your blood and righteousness is going to be my power and my strength all day long. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. What do? You start your day in the blood of Jesus and the righteousness of Jesus. Why? Because if you don't have that, you're going to fight all day long. And you might as well just start your day in it. And then anytime throughout the day there's any kind of an enemy that attacks you, stand in his blood and stand in his righteousness, because it will be a blessing and it'll be a strength to you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Now, I want everybody to make this confession with me, and then we'll get into our communion. Say this. Say, thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Phyllis and Rebecca, you can say it with me. Thank you, Lord. Or Dan, you can too.
Thank you, Lord.
That no matter what happened in my life,
and no matter what happened in my
life,
you have made me a new creation.
You have made me a new creation.
And it wiped out all the things of my past.
And it wiped out all the things in my past.
And I have the brightest future available.
And I have the brightest future available.
Because of what you did on the cross.
Because of what you did on the cross.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit.
That fills me every day.
That fills me every day.
I choose to live in the newness of life.
I choose to live in the newness of life.
With a clean slate every day.
With a clean slate every day.
Every day.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's get our communion of elements out. I encourage you to have them available and ready every night so that you can receive communion with us. I was, where was I at? I don't remember where I was at. I heard somebody talking about communion. Somebody had asked the question, how often you should receive communion. And my goodness, they were given a religious answer of, well, you know, at least once a month. And I'm thinking, man, once a month, don't go once a month. Yeah, let's receive communion every day. That's how we do it. Yeah. Yeah. And I do.
I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure what all the church leaders did, but I know I do it every day. And
Jesus,
I want
how often as you do it. He didn't say as seldom as you do it.
And
yeah.
And it doesn't matter where you go to define the word often. The word often never means seldom. Have you ever noticed that? That the word often never means seldom. It's always going to have the same meaning. And it don't even have to go to the Greek to understand it. Often means more than seldom. And so now you might have come from a church or a religious organization where they're like, well, you can only do it with a pastor or whatever. Let me encourage you. I'm not going to take the time to do it right now tonight myself, but let me encourage you. Go to your Bible and actually study communion, because there's no verse in the Bible that says you have to have a pastor or a priest standing with you to receive communion. Jesus Christ, the head of the church, said to the disciples, as often as I am with you, no other times can you do this. See, he didn't say that.
And Jesus is our high priest.
Jesus did not say to the disciples, you can only do this when I'm with you. He said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And it was in all of the teachings of the disciples, the apostles of the Lamb. And very, very well taught down through the ages. And church history ebbs and flows, but thank God my leaders have said do it often. Dr. Roy Hicks wouldn't even get out of bed in the morning till he took communion. He said, I'm going to have the broken body of Jesus and his blood covering my life from the moment I wake up. And he put it in a glass and covered it up and had his bread in a baggie, put it on his nightstand every day, so that when he woke up in the morning, was the first thing he did was receive communion. If you have that desire here, remember, you can always go right to our website, samueljcottle.com, and this communion service is written out right there. You can actually read it right from the website. All you got to do is just click on the word that says communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's new. It's a new covenant. Better covenant, better promises. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 28 is the only verse in there that tells you the process of what to do. Examine yourself, and then receive the bread and the cup. Why? You examine yourself to see if you're in God. If you've sinned, repent. Say, I apologize. If you say, Father, how am I doing? He's going to say it to you. If you live with him as if he's walking with you every day, he will guide your steps every single day, and you will always be walking with him. And you'll always be walking.
That's what I do.
Amen. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love cast out fear and the torment, the trauma that goes with it. Because there is no fear in God's perfect love. In Jesus' mighty name, I bind the trauma and the fear that some of you have with communion right now. And I command you, fear, your power is broken off of their lives, and let them freely receive the elements in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. So we encourage you, pray that prayer with us. I'm going to pray it. Sister Lana, pray it. Rebecca and Phyllis and Dan will pray it with us. You pray it right at home. Now watch. Just saying the words doesn't transform you. You truly have to mean these words we lead you in. They're very much on purpose. They're very focused according to the word of God, because we've been trained how to lead you to Jesus. But you have to mean it from your heart. You can't just say words and say, there, I said the words, so now it's all good. It doesn't work. You have to truly mean, I want you in my life. So pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16, when I believe in you, you give me everlasting life. And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Now, say this. Say, Jesus, here's my faith statement.
Jesus, here's my faith statement.
I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again from the dead just for me. And my whole family.
Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness. All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life. With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power. Understand the word of God. Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life. As a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Aren't you glad that just like that, God comes into our life?
That's awesome.
Like a ray of sunshine.
Now, for all of you that are on the program with us, and it's the first time you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God, to the kingdom of God. To those of you that's been with us for a while and you've prayed that same prayer a thousand times, isn't it something that it means as much tonight as the first time we prayed it?
Yes, every single time.
Every single time. Why? Because it is a celebration of, it is a remembrance of, look at what Jesus did for me. Look at what he did for me.
Thank you, Lord,
for what you did for me. And now you might say, so Pastor, what is going on? You just ask Jesus to come into you. When he comes, the Bible says he stands at the door and knocks. If any man will open the door, let him in. He'll come in, sup with them, and you with him. You'll have supper with him. I like that. But see, when Jesus comes, he brings all of himself. He's the light of the world, so you're now filled with light. He is the author and finisher of our faith. So faith just came and lived in you. There's no darkness in him. So he just drove out all the darkness with the light of his love. His blood has washed away every stain of sin. It's purged every sin from your life.
Praise God.
Thrown it into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you anymore. People say all the time, they're like, well, Pastor, I didn't even confess a single sin. Well, how are you going to remember every sin you ever committed? You never will. That's impossible. So what does that mean? That means you say, Jesus, forgive me. And Jesus forgives you. And the greatest thing Jesus wants you to say is, will you please come in? Because when he comes, he brings everything about him. And now you are made new, just like we studied tonight. And you're a new creation in Jesus' mighty name. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Some of you will need to go take this lesson, find a way to save it, share it, share it into your own text, share it to an email to yourself, and say, I've been made new, and then listen to it over and over and over again. Why? Because as you do, it will transform you into a new being, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. That way you'll know when we're live, and go in there to YouTube and find a way to hook something up so they'll send you a notification. Those of you listening to us on Facebook, make sure you do the same thing there. Hook it up so that as soon as we go live, you're getting a notification. It's impossible for me to send notifications to everybody that would want one. You'd spend an hour sending notifications. But Facebook and YouTube are pretty good about it. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio, click like or click subscribe, and then you'll set it up. And every time we go live, they'll send you a notification letting you know. And you'll be able to be a part of it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, let's receive our communion elements together at this time. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to bless these elements, and then we'll pray over them. When we pray over them, every word we're getting ready to say is actually a verse of scripture. First, it'll be verses of scripture about the broken body. Then it'll be verses of scripture about the blood. Why? Because a lot of people have taken grape juice and bread, and they don't know a thing about it. The Holy Spirit told me when we started this, I want you to say it in every session, because you never know who's going to be there who doesn't know what it's all about. You ready? Hold your elements up. Let's bless them together. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Ready?
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit and my soul and in my body. In my mind, my will, and my emotion. There's nothing missing, nothing broken. Every joint supplying. In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive the broken body together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that for the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross, despised the shame, and you are seated in heaven. We called it all joy that we would find you. Now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission. And my life forever.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace. Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over. And they cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish when you come for me. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his bloodshed. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood in my life. Let's sing the old hymn today. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. You know, you might not know that song. And it might not mean anything to you. But there's a group of us, a number of us that have, we grew up on that song. And we sang it with great boldness and tenacity and great praise and worship in honor of the blood of Jesus. And it brought us great victory in our lives. And there's a lot of songs on the blood. I mean, we probably know what? 20 different songs on the...
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. I love that song.
That's a great song. So when, now like, for those of you that are like, that's just not my style of music, I encourage you, text me, email me, because there's a series of songs about the blood that... That was Charity Gale.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
There's probably 20 songs about the blood, 15 songs about the blood in this YouTube playlist that are modern day songs that are just as good as what the hymns are. They're just not a hymn. They're written in a modern style. And it would be a very powerful blessing to you to get on your YouTube channel and begin to hear and play it on a regular basis, because it'd be a blessing to you. And it's modern day music, and yet every bit of the words are about the blood of Jesus and how they affect our lives. And so I encourage you to do that. Well, I could stay on here and talk a long time, but I'm not going to do that because it's time to go. Now, I've been saying this, but we're going to fine-tune this now. Remember, we're fine-tuning ourselves this year. And I want us all to learn how to use all of our gifts. If the Holy Spirit said something to you during the program about the teaching, that's for all of us to hear. Now, remember, I'm fine-tuning this. Not just what did the program mean to you. Did the Holy Spirit speak something to you during this program about this that he wants you to share? Now, what we're learning how to hear his voice and share. Right now, for about 2 minutes, we're going to do this. And, of course, tonight we got Brother Dan, Sister Rebecca, and Sister Phyllis on here with us. So if that's any of you, go ahead and raise your hand or say something.
I don't have anything that I can think of.
All right. All right. Well, that's the power of this. It's not that everybody should get something every time. It's if the Holy Spirit says something to you about this service, and he gives it to you as a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, it is a gift of the Spirit, and it's important that the body of Christ hears it. And it's not been something that I've been real focused on. Not that I would resist it, but I want us to focus on it this year so we go to the next level in God. Sister Phyllis, read our closing verses, the benediction, the doxology, the glory, hallelujah.
Okay, all right. Jude 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, even the garments defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, in glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. And in Revelation 1, 5, and 6, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
And that reminds me of what we read tonight about being made in the image of him who created us. We always read that as he is, so are we in this world.
So are we.
And that just emphasized what we've always been practicing in our Bible reading every night, and I appreciate that.
In Jesus' name. Now I'm going to read my verses out of Job, because I speak this over every one of you. Job 33:14 through 17:18. For God may speak in one way or another, and man not perceive it. So maybe tonight you didn't understand me. Okay. However, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, they're slumbering on their beds, then he, God, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, and in order to turn men from his deed What would that deed be? That'd be you're doing something that's going to keep you from walking with God. God's going to seal an instruction inside of you tonight that'll turn you from that. Then it says, and it will conceal pride from that man. Pride is what keeps you from receiving Jesus. And then it says, it will keep back your soul from the pit and your life from perishing by the sword. Thank you, Jesus. I speak it over every single one of us tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Put your arms out like this and say it with me. We reap every soul.
We reap every soul.
For the kingdom of God tonight.
For the kingdom of God tonight.
Who heard us tonight.
Who heard us tonight.
Or any night in the future.
Or any night in the future.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you.
God loves you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus
is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord.
Is Lord. We will see you soon in Jesus' mighty name.
Night, everybody.
As
God bless you. I love you all.
Love you too, Phyllis.
You too.
Just like Sister Lan typed in there. In the notes on YouTube, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We will see you soon. Tomorrow morning.